عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلوات الله وسلامه عليه. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى، وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. عن أبي موسى الأشعري رضي الله عنه قال: إن النبي صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم قال: مثلي ومثل ما جئت به كمثل رجل أتى قوم فقال: يا قوم إني رأيت جيش بعيني وإني أنا النذير العريان، فالنجاء النجاء، فأطاعه طائفة من قومه فأدرجوا وانطلقوا على مهلهم فنجوا، وكذبته طائفة أخرى فأصبحوا مكانهم فسبهم الجيش فأهلكهم واجتاههم، فذلك مثل من أطاعني فاتبع ما جئت به، ومن كذبني وعصاني وما جئت به من الحق. Abu Musa radiallahu anhu, he said that the Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in this tremendous hadith as collected in Bukhari and Muslim, my similar to is like the example of a man who came to a group of people and he said to his people, O my people, verily I have seen the army with my very eyes, and I am the naked warner. So save yourselves, save yourselves. He went on to say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so those people who listen to the warner and obey what he was saying and what he was advising them to do, they left their places of residence in the first part of the night. And when they left, they went out and proceeded with ease and comfort and tranquility. And as such, they were saved. And then there was the other group of people who disbelieved what he was saying and they didn't listen to him. So they remained in their place of residence and they went to bed there and they woke up in the morning only to find that the army that he was warning them about came into their place of residence and they pulverized them and annihilated them and did away with them. The Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that's the example of the one who follows and believes in what I brought to him. And the example of one who disrejects it and he doesn't follow what I brought to him. So in this authentic hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is giving us a new word. He's increasing our Arabic vocabulary. And he's giving us the word al-nadhirul uryan, the naked warner. The Arabs have multiple meanings as what they understood who and what is the naked warner. But we're going to use that example that the majority of them are upon. And that is what actually happened, where one of the people were taken and they were pounced upon. He was taken hostage and captive by the enemy. When the enemy had him tied down, they took his clothes off and they were going to kill him. Somehow they became busy with themselves and the man escaped to come to his people. And he came to his people in a state of nakedness. And he said to his people, I just came from the enemy and they're about to come to get us. So get yourself together. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam likened himself to the Nadir al-Uryan, the naked warner. If the people were to view a man from amongst them who was known to be truthful, upright and honest, and he came to them in that state, he was not Majnoon, but he appeared to them in public without any clothes and he was saying to them, over here is the army and the army is coming. Get yourself together. the people are going to be well advised to believe him and get themselves together. So the Prophet says, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's like the naked warner to us. Just as we know that he is Mustafa and he is Al-Amin and he is not Majnoon. Those things that he warns us about, we need to take heed and we need to pay attention. And the proofs to show that he's not Majnoon and that he's not a liar are too many. So just like the naked warner, he came to you with clear proofs to make you pay attention about the pending danger that's going to befall you. He told the people, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, about the army, the enemy, a shaitan, and what the Hizb al-Shaytan will have prepared for them in the hellfire. And too many examples. But in this particular khutbah, ikhwan, we want to take this hadith as an example and an opportunity to warn you of something that the Prophet used to warn us about, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. And I remember when I gave the khutbah about Sulaiman alayhi salatu wa salam and not saying inshallah. And that khutbah was a practical khutbah in order to get you people to remember. After that khutbah, I saw that the people began to increase saying inshallah. If a brother said to him, I'm going to do such and such and such a thing, and he didn't say inshallah, his companion would say inshallah. So we want to establish the argument against myself first and foremost. After we warn you today of what he used to warn us about, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he was like the Nadir al-Uryan, after this I can't continue to be of the people who fall into this crime. You can't continue to be of the people who fall into this crime. And all of us are guilty, and it's a major crime. All of us are guilty. So let us establish the argument on ourselves. Before doing so, ikhwan, let us make it perfectly clear. There are those things that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned about that it only affects you as an individual. Don't drink khamr. Don't get high. Don't be negligent about your salah. For the most part, those issues only affect you. But what we're going to talk about today, it affects our whole community. And it will prevent us from making any progress. So when we asked the brothers a few days ago, step up to the plate and meet the challenge. Don't go home and watch TV for one night. I know that there were some people who put a foot forward and he tried to help the community not be of the people who are ignorant and the people who are evildoers. But for the most part, there's still a large portion of us, ikhwan, who are still carrying on, and we are going against the grain, and we're not going to be successful as a community. In light of the statement of Allah, that he will not change the condition of a people until they first themselves change their condition. So today's issue is an issue that everyone is guilty of. So let us establish the argument. And that is the problem of al-ghiba, or backbiting the Muslim. Talking about the Muslims when you shouldn't be talking about the Muslims. It is impossible, Ya Abdullah, to continue to proceed with what we want to accomplish, and we're falling into the heinous crime of ghiba. What is the ghiba? Al-Mutallab ibn Abdullah radiyallahu anhu, he told us in an authentic hadith that has been collected by Imam Abu Dawood rahimahullahu ta'ala, that the Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-ghiba an tazkura al-rajul bima fihi min khalfihi. Pay attention to the prophetic message. Ghiba, or backbiting, is for you to mention something about a man that is true, but it's behind his back. So-and-so is a fat man. So-and-so is greedy. So-and-so is this or that. It is something that's true about him, but you mention it in his absence. That's the first part of ghiba. The second part of ghiba, as he explained to us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, comes to us in the authentic hadith that's been collected also by Imam Abu Dawood. And the authority of Abu Huraira, the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, al-ghibatu dhikruka akhaka bima yakrah. Backbiting is to mention your brother with that which he dislikes. So it's two portions. To say something about a man behind his back, and the other thing is to mention something that he doesn't like for you to mention. And we all fall into it. So that's what ghiba is. What about the danger and the seriousness of al-ghiba? And why we say we won't go for it? Because it's the sunnah of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. I want to take this opportunity out. Those of you who have been given the ability to imagine so that you can prepare yourself to get it together, imagine what the Prophet is saying now, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and these ahadith that are about to come to you. Don't sit there and just think about someone else. Think about yourself being the recipient of what he's talking about, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. And the authority of Abu Dawood, all this hadith has been collected by the Imam Abu Dawood and At-Tirmidhi. And the authority of Al-Bara ibn Azib radiyallahu anhu. The Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya ma'ashara man amana bilisanihi walam yadkhul al-iman qalbuhu la takhtabu al-muslimin. This is the danger. The first danger of al-ghiba is, it implies and it proves, if you're a person falling into ghiba, that you are not a complete mu'min. Your iman is deficient. He said, alayhi salatu wassalam, O you people who you have accepted Islam by your tongue, but al-iman has not entered into your heart, do not backbite the Muslims. O you people who have accepted Islam by your tongue, but al-iman has not entered into your heart, do not backbite the Muslims. How is this a proof that al-iman has not entered into your heart? Because of the hadith. None of you believes until he loves for his brother what he loves for himself. So when Allah mentions in the Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, Allah loves the believer. إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, Allah is with the believers. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ, Verily the believers are this or that. When the Prophet mentions, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the believers are this or this, we should say, we're not from the believer. But when the ayah said, إِنَّ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَالْمُسْلِمَاتِ, we say, okay, we're from the Muslims. Because we are still falling into the ghiba. So those of you who make ghiba of the Muslim, let it be known, based upon this hadith of Al-Bara ibn Azib, Al-Iman has not entered into your heart. O people who have accepted Islam with your tongue, but Al-Iman has not entered into your heart, do not make ghiba of the Muslim. Another clear hadith, ikhwan, that shows the danger and the seriousness of Al-Ghiba is another hadith on the authority of Al-Bara ibn Azib that's been collected by Imam Abu Dawood al-Tayalisi rahimahullahu ta'ala. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-Riba ithnan wa sab'una baban adnaha mithlu ityan al-raju ummahu wa inna arba al-riba istitalatu al-raju fi irdi akhi. Usury or interest is 72 babs. The lowest bab of interest is like a man having sexual relationships with his mother. And the highest bab of riba is for a man to talk ill about his brother, to talk in his honor. Before moving on another step, all of you have heard this hadith a million times and then some. But I want you to take the time out for one of you to really reflect. The lowest part of riba is like a man having sexual relationship with his wife or his mother. Imagine for a minute, and you know what your mother looks like, that you sit between your mother's legs like a man sits between the legs of his wife. And you're looking in her face and she's looking in your face. And you're supposed to perform. That's a detestable, I'm not trying to be by any stretch of the imagination vulgar or graphic. But that's what we have to do. That's the lowest example of the riba. Worse than that is the man talking about his brother in his absence, making riba about the sister in her absence. So it's not possible. If the Muslim would not tolerate the idea, the concept of having a relationship with his mother, how is it possible that he looks at making riba as being small? And that's why we said, ikhwan, the one who falls into ghiba, all of us, our iman is incomplete. We should look at it as being greater than that, based upon the hadith of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. In another authentic hadith of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu, he told us that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, lamma urija biya marartu bi qawmin lahum asfaru min nuhas yakhmishuna wajuhuhum wa saduruhum faqultu ya Jibril man haulai. فقال جبريل عليه الصلاة والسلام هؤلاء الذين يأكلون لحوم الناس ويقعون في أعراضهم. When I was taken on the Mi'raj to the heavens above, I passed by a group of people who Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala had gave them nails made out of copper. And I witnessed them scratching their faces and scratching their breasts, their chests, taking the skin off of their flesh. And I became afraid of the sight. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Do you think he's going to be of those people? Of course not. He was promised that he wouldn't be of those people prior to going up there. But he became afraid for his ummah, people like you and me. So I said in a state of fright and terror, Ya Jibril, who are those people right there? Jibril alayhi salatu wa salam, he said, those are the people from your ummah. Those people who eat the flesh of the other people, and they fall into their honor. They talk about their honor. That's their reward. Ya Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. So if that is not enough as an indication, ikhwan, as to the danger of al-ghiba, then wallahi, by the Lord of the Kaaba, I don't know what else is enough for us. The ahadith of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that show us the danger and the seriousness and the level that this religion has put al-ghiba, is the hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Abu Huraira and the rest of the companions. When a man came to him after making zina from the companions, he fell into the crime of a zina. No one knew about it. He came to the Messenger of Allah alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and told him, Ya Rasulullah, waqat waqa'tu fil ladhi harramallahu alayya, I fell into that which is haram. The Prophet turned away from him 3 times. After the 3rd time, the man bore witness on himself. He asked him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what do you want me to do with you? What do you want from me? The man said, I want you to purify me. So they proceeded to stone the man, put him in a hole, and they start dropping boulders on his head, on his chest, on his ribs, on his knees, until he's broken up for making adultery. And no one can feel sorry for the man. While that was his state, and he was still living, but he was dying, 2 of the companions from the Ansar, from the Aslami tribe, they said, woe unto him that he is brought before the people, and he's stoned like a dog. The Prophet told them, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, let us go. So they left the man, and they walked some time. He came across a dead donkey. He said to them, Aina fulan wa fulan? Where are those 2 people? They said, Ha nahnu da ya Rasulullah, here we are. He told them, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Kula min hadhihi jifa. Eat from this dead donkey. They said to him, Ya Rasulullah, ghafara Allahu laka. Kayfa na'kulu min hadha? O Messenger of Allah, may Allah forgive you. How are we going to eat from this thing? How are we going to take from this thing? Ikhwan, it could have been a horse, a camel, it could have been anything, but it was a donkey. And the donkey to the Arabs was one of the worst animals. You want to fight an Arab man today, call him a himar. Call him a himar. You will get that man's blood to boil, and he'll want to throw down with you. Eat the donkey. How are we going to eat the donkey, Ya Rasulullah? He told them, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, ما نلتما من إرد هذا الرجل آنفا أشد من أكل هذه الجيفة فوالذي نفس بيده إنه الآتي أنهار الجنة ينغمس فيها. Verily what you people said about that man who was getting stoned, it was more severe and serious than you sitting down to eat this donkey. I swear by the one whose hand my soul is in, that man is in one of the rivers of paradise, being immersed, submerged in the water. We have to make this point at heart. Here is a man who made zina. He had relationships with someone's daughter, someone's sister, someone's mother, and he was married. So he broke the contract of his wife. غَفَرَ اللَّهُ لَنَا وَلَهُ وَرَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. So he deserved to be stoned to death. And yet, while he was in that stage of being stoned to death for that crime, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam still stood up for his honor. He was in the hole, a dead man, and the Prophet still stood up for his honor, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Don't you know that any time, if the woman commits adultery, and it's time for her to get stoned, the Muslims take that woman and they tie something around her so that her aura does not get exposed. Why? We don't want you, ya sister, to be exposed, your aura, in front of the people. We're going to protect your aura and your rights, even in this condition, that you deserve to die. What about the man walking around amongst us in the street? He's living and he has no hurma. His blood is halal. It's open season on his blood, on his flesh. So that's our religion, ikhwan, as it relates to the issue of making ghibah about the people. And we all are making ghibah. So once we know what the meaning of ghibah is, how is it possible after today that we can allow someone to come into our presence, talk about another Muslim brother, another Muslim sister, without having anything move in our heart that is against this religion? The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was sitting with our mother Aisha radiallahu anha. And because she was one of his most beloved wives, the most beloved one, he said to her, or she said to him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, hasbuka min Safiya kada wa kada. Oh, Messenger of Allah, it is enough that Safiya is like this. And she put her fingers like this. Those of you who are here, let those people who are not here and they can't see, show them what happened. It is enough that she's like this, meaning she's a short woman. The Prophet said to Aisha radiallahu anha, لَقَدْ قُلْتِ كَلِمَةً لَوْ مُزِجَتْ بِمَاءِ الْبَحْرِ لَمَزَجَتْهُ. Ya Aisha, you have said a word that if it was to be mixed with the ocean, it would have changed the color of the ocean. We have to make a few points concerning this tremendous hadith. Number one, they came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they asked him, Ya Rasulullah, man ahabbu nasi laika? Qala Aisha. Who's the most beloved person to you? He said, Aisha. In spite of his love for her, when she made ghibah, he put a stop to it. He didn't say, me and my wife are cool, I'm just going to let her say what she want to say and that's it. I'm cool with brother so and so, so I'm not going to say nothing. That's not the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Number two, this proves to us clearly, ikhwan, that it is not permissible for the man who has multiple wives to sit in the presence of one of the wives and he allows her to talk bad about the other wife. It's ghibah. It's a major crime. The first wife is telling how bad the second wife is. Or both of the wives, or three of the wives, or four of the wives, they sit together and they trade off stories about the brother. Ghiba. The third thing that we want to mention about this hadith, ikhwan, is that in the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed her, you have said a word, ya Aisha. If you mix it with the ocean, it would have changed the ocean. This is a clear proof that ghibah is not only the statement that you say with your tongue. You can make innuendos, body language. The person is sitting there and you say, that's ghibah. وَيْلٌ لِكُلِّ هُمَزَةٍ لُمَزَةٍ. Woe unto every scandal monger who make innuendos about the believer. وَإِذَا مَرُّوا بِهِمْ يَتَغَامَزُونَ. And if the believers walk by the disbelievers, they do like this. Get a load of that. Oh my Lord, don't hold my people responsible for laughing at something that you sent down in the Quran. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know that this is not a funny issue. When the woman looked at her husband and she sucks her teeth and rolls her eyes, and he's not looking. That's ghibah. All of that is ghibah. Ya Aisha, you have said a word that if it was to mix with the ocean, it would have changed the ocean. So with that being the case, Ikhwan, this Delaware River, this Schuylkill River, in actuality, those kafir organizations like Greenpeace, who are trying to preserve their natural environment, they need to write a letter to the Muslims and say to the Muslims, you people are also responsible for polluting the water. You people are also responsible because the ghiba that you're making against your brothers and sisters in this religion, it has changed the color and polluted the water. So we say, Ikhwan, this is the argument that we want to establish. After you hear the statement of the one who is similar to the Nadir al-Uryan, the naked warner, how after this are we going to allow someone to come into our presence, no matter who he is? And I say, let the shura of this masjid be the first from amongst our community to start practicing not making ghibah. Those things that we have to hear about the people, if it's not necessary, we don't want to hear it. If it's necessary, let us keep it to a minimum. Let us be the first one. So the argument, inshallah, has been established. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq and to give us the good in this life and the next life. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ونسأل الله تبارك وتعالى التوفيق والثبات. الحمد لله رب العالمين وأصلي وأسلم على نبينا الأمين وعلى آله وأصحابه وعلى من تمسك بسنته بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. إخوان, we want to take this opportunity out to address the Amma of Allah Ta'ala, the handmaidens of Allah, the women of our community. All of them know me of those ahadith about their deficient religion and their deficient intellect. They already know about they're going to be the majority of the people in the hellfire. They know about all of those ahadith. And one of the reasons that causes them to be the majority of the occupants of the hellfire is the fact that something is happening with their tongue. They say, I never saw any good from you, once the man doesn't do anything. But this is not something exclusive to women. The Prophet told us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inna akthar akhtadni Adam fi lisanihi. Verily, the majority of the sins that Bani Adam make, they are the sins that come as a result of what his tongue is putting forth. Lying, bearing false witness, ghiba, talking about other people's business, joking in what is haram. The majority of the sins of the human beings is a result of what his tongue puts forth. So what did the Prophet tell us? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, من يضمن لي ما بين لحييه وما بين رجليه أضمن له الجنة. Whoever from amongst you can guarantee me that you will take control over what is between your jawbone and what is between your legs, I, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will guarantee you paradise. It's a very difficult organ to control. So the women of our community, they are the ones who we have seen, and this is not exclusive to them, but they have a lot to say about the other sisters. They have a lot to say about other people. So-and-so thinks she cute. So-and-so is fat. So-and-so is short. So-and-so is skinny. So-and-so wants to marry so-and-so. So-and-so this, so-and-so that. And if those people knew what you were saying, they wouldn't be pleased. And even if it's true, you're saying it behind their back. You're making ghiba. Because we can't interface with the women of our community, we see you brothers on a daily basis. So we can grab you and we can go upstairs and we can talk and network together. But it's your job and your responsibility to go home to your women to try to help raise their level of sisterhood, their level of commitment. There's something good about the sister, but the sister doesn't want that mentioned to your husband. Ghiba. So we want to encourage the women to help us here and not to work against us. So what if so-and-so thinks she's cute? Allahu ta'ala, hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakil. He's going to take care of her. Whose business is it except it's between her and her Lord? We encourage the sisters to get a grip, to get control of their tongue, to stop being of the people who we have this type of fitna going on in amongst our ranks. And I believe and I feel, and Allah knows best, that because we address these issues, they get better. So how should the sister be? How should the sister be? The Prophet told us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in showing the virtues of these people, Tuba lil ghuraba. Faqila ya Rasulullah, wa man al ghuraba? Qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أناس صالح كثير في أناس سوء كثير من يعصيهم أكثر ممن يطيعه. May paradise be for the ghuraba, for the strangers. They asked him, Ya Rasulullah, who are the ghuraba? Who are the strangers? He said, they are a people who their numbers are very few, but they're righteous. And they're in the middle or amongst people who are very bad, and they're many. Those who listen to them are less than those who disobey them. The sister has to be from the ghuraba. In another narration about the ghuraba, he said, Tuba lil ghuraba alladhina yuslihuna inda fasad an-nas. May this tree of paradise be for the stranger. The strangers are those people who, when the people do wrong and the people make fasad, those ghuraba, they step in and they make the affairs okay. They order and enjoin what is right and they prevent what is wrong. Allahu tabarak wa ta'ala told us in an ayat of the Quran, giving us some tawjih and some irshad, some instruction, al-ilahi. وَإِذَا رَأَيْتَ الَّذِينَ يَخُوضُونَ فِي آيَاتِنَا فَأَعْرَضْ عَنْهُ حَتَّى يَخُوضُوا فِي حَدِيثٍ غَيْرِهِ وَإِمَّا يُنْسِيَنَّكَ الشَّيْطَانِ فَلَا تَقْعُدْ بَعْدَ ذِكْرَى مَعَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. And if you were sitting with those people who start to talk about the signs of Allah that they shouldn't be talking about, they're making ghibah, then stand up and get away from them until they change their speech. And if shaitan makes you forget and you continue to sit there, then what you should do is, you should never sit there after hearing this remembrance. After you remember, do not sit with the people who are oppressive. So ikhwan, brothers and sisters in al-Islam, these are the ahadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as it relates to the issue of al-ghibah. It should not be tolerated by any of us that we allow people to talk about other people in our presence. We had a brother who came here from far, far away to meet one of our sisters. And they just happened to have a telephone conversation without anyone's knowledge. The brother is a good brother, inshallah, and the sister is a good sister, inshallah. The sisters from our sisters in our community, and by the Lord of the Kaaba, we love her for Allah's sake. But a shaitan, they had a discussion that we found out about, and it was a simple, harmless discussion, inshallah, very brief. But we had to rebuke the sister. We had to rebuke her. Why? Because we wanted to let her know, Ya Amatullah, her name is not Amatullah, like Abdullah. Ya Amatullah, you represent our Jama'ah. Don't let people think they can step up in here and they can do anything that they want to do with us. You are representative of what we're about. You also, Ya Akhi, you are representative of what we're trying to establish. So if we're trying to establish a community, how is it possible that we're going to be viewing each other, witnessing each other, making ghiba about each other? Just know for a surety, put the hype on the side. If people are making ghiba like that, the Amr bin Maruf and the Nahi and the Munkar has been taken from us. And I don't care how loud you scream, as-Salafi, we got some problems. Not until we step up, ikhwan, our application, that practical stuff. Yo, you can't, we not tolerating that. You cool with me, Aisha. But we not tolerating that here. Because that works against what we're trying to establish. That's our religion. So after hearing these hadith, Allahumma ashhad, Allahumma ashhad, Allahumma ashhad, inni ballagta al-ibad, أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ونسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يوفقنا لما يحبه ويرضاه أقم الصلاة يرحمكم الله.
الله أكبر الله أكبر.
الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلوات الله وسلامه على نبينا الأمين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين وعلى من تمسك بسنته ودعا إليها بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. الإمام البخاري رحمه الله تعالى, and everyone knows الإمام البخاري محمد بن إسماعيل أبو عبد الله, may Allah تعالى reward him and give him good in his life in the grave as well as in the hereafter. He was reported to have said, ما اختبت أحدا بعد أن علمت أن الغيبة هي حرام. I have never ever made غيبة after I came to know that غيبة was حرام. The reason why we mention this about Imam al-Bukhari is because Imam al-Bukhari Ikhwan was in a position where he had to talk bad about people in order to protect and preserve the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam. It was permissible for him, like it's permissible for you, if there are things that you need to expose from the shortcomings of the actions of a person, it's permissible for you to talk bad about them in their absence, but it is within a very confined and restricted had. What's a had? Boundary. So Imam al-Bukhari, you won't find him saying things that are very tough against people who are in the hadith, the men of the chain of narration. The most Imam al-Bukhari would say about a man is, fihi kalam, takallamu anhu. This man, they spoke ill about him, or they mentioned him in the wrong way. So this goes to show us, ikhwan, the wara, or the awareness that Imam al-Bukhari had concerning this issue, that he was really from the a'imma of the sunnah and from the a'imma or the imams of al-hadith. He used to hear the hadith and he used to try to practice it, like al-imam Sufyan al-Thawri, another imam who used to, every time he heard a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he made it his business to try to practice everything, not just to be of the people who give a lot of lip professing, even though that's good and it has its place, but it shouldn't be only lip professing. It should be some action. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, he was sitting with his companion, as Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhuma explained to us. Walaikum salam. And suddenly out of nowhere, a very repugnant and distasteful smell appeared. And everyone started smelling, and then the Prophet asked them, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, atadruna ma hadha ar-rih? Do you people know what this smell is? Obviously they said, Allahu wa rasuluhu a'lam. Allah and His Messenger know best, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hadhihi rihul ladhina yastabuna al-mu'mineen. That is the smell that comes as a result of the people who make the ghibah of the believers. So the people who make ghibah, they have, because of their actions, a creation or a smell that is peculiar to them and their actions. So every time you smell something that you can't figure out what it is, it's not tar, if someone is laying some tar, it's not a garbage truck that's going by, there's just a smell coming by, it's possible that it's from those people. Those people who make the ghibah of the believers. One of the things that we failed to mention, ikhwan, was there is some virtue in us repelling people from making ghibah. And it is a tremendous virtue that we wanted to share with you now, inshallah. Maybe this will serve as an incentive, an added addition, to make one of us, when we hear this, in a nice way, we try to protect
the person who is absent, and ghiba is being made up against that person. Asma, the daughter of Yazid, radiallahu anha, she said that the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in this hadith that's been collected by Imam Ahmed, من ذب أن إرد أخيه بالغيبة كان حقا لله أن يعتقه من النار. He says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whoever defends his brother's honor in his absence, it is the haqq on Allah to free him, to emancipate him from the hellfire. The word that he used here was al-ghayba and not al-ghiba, because al-ghiba comes from al-ghayba, al-ghayb, like Allah Ta'ala is alimul ghaybi wa shahada. He is the one who knows the world of the unseen, al-ghayb. So why is it called ghiba? Because a person is partaking in it, and it is unseen as it relates to the person who it's about. So he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whoever defends, stands up for his brother and his honor in the ghayba, in his absence, and he prevents this ghiba from taking place and being said, Allahu tabarak wa ta'ala haqqan lahu, it is the right that he has over Allah. And this is from Allah's karam, and from Allah's jood, and ihsanin from Allah, and fadlin minhu, that Allah has given him the right to be emancipated from the hellfire. The last thing that I want to mention, and we want to emphasize this point because it is so important, and it shows what we are made out of and how we understand, and that is, we're going to have some misunderstandings and some disagreements with our spouses and with each other. But we're talking about, in particular, our spouses. The Prophet used to come out to his companions, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he used to say to them, لَا يُحَدِّثَنَّ أَحَدُكُمْ عَنْ صَاحِبِهِ فَإِنِّي أُحِبُّ أَنْ أَخْرُجَ إِلَيْكُمْ وَأَنَا سَلِيمُ الصَّبْرِ. He said to his companions, when I come out to you, do not let anyone from amongst you tell me about somebody else, because I love to come out to you and to greet and to meet you, and my heart, my chest is saleem. But as soon as you start telling me about this one did that, and this one did this, and this one did that, my heart is going to change towards you or towards that person, because I come to find out about his sins, his faults, his deficiencies. And we've been ordered to cover the faults of the people. He told us, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, لا تتتبعوا أورات المؤمنين فإنه من تتبع أورة أخيه تتبع الله أورته ومن تتبع الله أورته يفضحه ولو كان في جوف بيته. Do not try to expose the awrat, the private things, the awrah of the believers. For verily, the one who tries to expose the shortcomings and the deficiencies of the believers, Allah is going to expose your shortcomings. And when Allah exposes a person's shortcomings, He exposes his shortcomings in the inner recesses and the privacy of his home. How? His child sits amongst us, and his child blurts out, hey, you know what I saw on the TV last night? And then the child mentions it. And then we all look at the brother. Allah exposed him through his child who doesn't have discretion. How does Allah expose you? You and your wife have problems. She comes and she says, he does this and this and this. He comes to me where it's haram and he insists, this is something that we do, this is something that we're like, that we like. Allah exposes the people. So I want to encourage you now, when you brothers come out, or the sisters come out, but it's with the women more than anyone else, let the woman, let the sister, let the amatullah who really believes in Allah on the last day, let her have some aql, let her have some class, some sophistication. Some things have to come out. But if you don't have to tell about those things about you and your husband, your private lives, it's better that you don't do so. And all the time when we find a woman who comes and she talks in the nice way and she says, look, I'm not trying to expose him. I've seen sisters like this, and we have to give credit where it's due. I've seen sisters who sit there and she says, look, I'm not trying to expose a brother. All I do is I want to get a hula because they're irreconcilable differences. And she stops right there. We call the brother after trying to encourage her. Sister, be patient. Sister, he's your paradise. He's your hellfire. Sister, your children. This is the normal thing. She says, Wallahi, I'm not staying. Irreconcilable differences. And then we call the brother. Actually, you have to come in. The intelligent brother is the one who he knows is broken down. It's not going to work. He gives her the khula. But then we have some brothers who insist on taking her to task. And then the stuff start coming out. And then you can't come out to the people without having a sabr that's saleem. You have to struggle within yourself. And you're making the salat and you're imagining and picturing some of what you just heard. Because it's a fitna. So let the sister, inshallah, fear Allah. Let the brother fear Allah as it relates to these issues. The good, intelligent, sophisticated, believing woman and believing man, they're the ones who know that they have to get control over their tongue. Don't let your emotions rule you. Don't let anger and frustration cause you to say to someone else that which you're going to regret. And then, ikhwan, look at us. We get mad and we blow up and we blow up. And then after that, we come back to our senses. We're going to remain with them. They're going to remain with us. So it didn't make sense. And it doesn't make any sense for us to expose each other. So, akhi, those of you who are not married, those of you who are not married, ask about the sister that you're about to marry or you're interested in. If you found that she was married to a brother and she used to do that, do not marry her because that's a shaytana. She's going to do it to you. And all of us, ikhwan, we have skeletons in our closets. All of us, we have shortcomings, inshallah. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us. From the issues that is permissible to make ghiba in is when you complain to someone about someone else. The lady came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to complain about Abu Sufyan, and she said that he was a cheap man, a stingy man. That was something that he didn't like. So if you're going to get oppression raised off of you, you can say something bad about someone. You can also make ghiba, and it's not considered to be ghiba when you go to a group of people, a group of brothers, in order to raise up a munkar. We know that there's a brother who's out there slinging this or slinging that. So you come and you tell a group of brothers, yo, we got to go and step to the brother, try to get him back to the religion, come to a senses. When they step to that brother can't say, hey, akhi, you made ghiba of me. Another time that it's permissible to make ghiba is when a person is seeking nasiha. Someone goes to someone and they ask, is so-and-so a good person, a good prospect for marriage? They say, no, he's been known to be lazy and shiftless. He's not a responsible brother. This is not ghiba. You're doing what you're responsible for doing. And that's what those imams of al-hadith used to do when they preserved for us the religion of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. So from this point on, ikhwan, inshaAllah, this is a standing order or practice that we're going to try to implement in our masjid here, the masjid where there is no ghiba, inshaAllah, and the people who fall into ghiba in the masjid, or our companions who fall into ghiba, we're going to help them to help themselves. Unsur akhaka zaliman aw mazluma. Help your brother whether he is oppressed or he is the oppressor. Ya Rasulullah, we know how to help him if he is the oppressed. How do we help our brother if he is the oppressor? He told us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, stop him from the oppression. Stop him from the oppression. Hada wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina wa ala alihi wa ashabihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika wa ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant wa astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.